Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical, the show that stretches you beyond your five senses. When you are looking for your next step on the path into the unseen, we've got you covered. Join epic adventure seekers and level up your game with your host, reality magician, Ali Bierman.
You're changing direction in life. Well, what's causing you to feel like it's time to change direction in life? Is it a simple change? Is it changing your whole life? What is it? I'm Reverend Ali Bierman, and you are joining us here today for Let's Get Metaphysical, connecting heart and mind. And we have the absolute best person as our guest today, who knows all about change, Flora Brown. I've known Flora for very many years, and every so often, she's into a new chapter in her life. Which is a good choice of words, because one of the things that she's done and that I first found her was she was an author, and then she helped people write. And today she's here to share something that it's just really exciting. I think there's a very important place for it. And I'm really glad to introduce to you Flora Brown. If you'd like to share with us three things that most people don't know about you.
Most people don't know that a lot of times I step forward to do things that I don't quite know how to do, and am willing to make a fool of myself in front of many people. That's one thing. Another one is most people look at me and think I'm organized and very neat and tidy and all that. That's not true. Let me see. What's another thing? I can't swim. Wow. I took swimming lessons when I was young because we had to swim at the Y and so forth, but I don't consider myself a competent swimmer. So a lot of people may not know that or care. Was that three things?
That was definitely three things. It's so good to see you. I haven't seen you since the last time I went to California, and that was definitely fun. I love following you, because every so often you're on a new path doing something completely different. And what you shared about jumping into doing things, that's like, wow. Because I think that you do an extraordinary job of everything you do. And I absolutely love what you're into now. Please share that with everybody, because I think it's so important.
Okay. What I'm into now is helping people write their life stories. Because I think everybody's story matters. As a matter of fact, my Facebook group is called Your Life Story Matters. I think I got into this. Of course, you know, I've been writing all of my life, and I've published some books traditionally, and a lot of books I've self-published. But one of the things I realized as the years have gone by is that I don't know a lot about my parents' backgrounds. My mother talked a lot about her life, but only the part she was proud of. And if you got into areas that she didn't want you to know, she'd say, why do you need to know that? My father, I know very little other than where he was born and the names of his siblings accidentally, because he talked about them in comparing us, his kids, to his siblings. So as I've gotten into helping people write their life stories, I also got into genealogy with a very good friend of mine now who I met online. And as I've learned more about genealogy, and she also does photo organization, I've realized more and more how it's important to capture the stories of your ancestors, your parents. But the story we have the most control over is our own stories. So I got very passionate about doing that. And because I've been a teacher, I was a teacher for 40 years, from junior high level to university level. I'm very competent about teaching. I'm very good at helping people bolster their confidence and take the chance of writing something or doing something. And most people do not feel that they're good writers. I doubt if you pick the best writer in the world, the top sellers, they probably have some confidence lagging when it comes to writing, and especially when you're talking about yourself. So I got into this I found a program, or maybe the program found me, called Guided Autobiography. And for whatever reason, every January, I'm all excited. Everybody's always excited about the new year, making resolutions and so forth. And one year I discovered this program in a catalog that was already ended. The classes had already ended. But when I saw that it was talking about helping people with their life stories, even though, you know, I have a lot of experience teaching, but this was a little different. So I thought I'll sign up for it, except it was over. So I had to contact the leader and she said, you know, I'll put you on the wait list and let you know when the next training starts. So that's what I did that year. And each year it seems like I reevaluate my life and see if I'm on the path I want to be on for that year or the next 5 years or whatever. And so I took the class and I got into a whole nother world of wonderful people who are dedicated to helping people write their life stories. And we're talking about people who are not necessarily planning to publish for the retail market. Many of the people are doing it as a personal project or to leave behind for their legacy, for their families. And many of them who are into genealogy, their stories are, you know, full of them documenting things that have happened, but also they're telling the emotional and other sides of the story. So I've just fallen in love with this, and especially because the whole population of people who don't think that they're writers don't know exactly where to go, because if they go to a class about how to write a novel, that's not what they want to do. Or they see a lot of programs about how to publish your book, how to become a bestseller. That's not what they're looking for either. So I like what I do because you don't have to be a writer. And the people who think that they're not writers tend to be the ones that turn out to be the best, because they don't come with this, you know, lofty ideas and high expectations, and then they're shocked when they can turn out a story. So what I'm doing now, and I started off with 6-week classes. I've moved more into shorter pieces because, like everything, people's attention spans have gotten shorter. Excuse me. So now I'm interested in micro memoirs, helping people write what I call one memory at a time. And the name of the program that I was trained in, their motto was 2 pages at a time. But I decided to switch it to memory because page count and word count doesn't matter if you are sharing a memory. And if you can share one memory, it may be 2 pages, it may be a half a page. So with my own memoir right now, I'm writing 52 micro memoirs. And each one of them is about, you know, whatever aspect of life from childhood through now that I want to talk about. And those kind of things can be put in order later if you want to, chronologically. But I think it's a big mistake for an amateur writer, especially, to start off trying to write a chronological memoir or life story. So I have a technique to help them capture their memories and prompts to get them to writing and get them to see they can turn out much more than they can. And then they, you know, we could decide how they want to share it with their families. It can be in writing, you know, the typical manuscript. It can be an audio. It could also be what I recently created, collaborated with another lady who's an expert in digital storytelling. It can be a video with you telling a segment of your story. All of those things your loved ones are going to be so happy to have when you create those. But we have to create those now while we're alive and while we have the presence of mind and the access to our memories.
Oh, I'm so grateful for everything that you just said, because I've been thinking the last few years, my kids have no clue of my life, as I had no clue of my mom's life. When my son was 8 years old for school, he interviewed her. That was the first time I learned My mom's mom died in childbirth. My mom didn't know she had siblings until she was 6 years old and was returned to her families. Oh my gosh, that's such an important thing to do. And all the different ways you were saying it, and wow, I'm just glad to be here because it's like the impetus I need to actually get this thing written or videoed, because I've done that for other people.
Right. You know, we're good at doing things for other people. And I'm the same way. Someone, you know, can ask me for help with something and boom, I jump on it and I get all these ideas and tell them things to do. And then to try to do those things myself, you know, it's a different approach because you have all of the other things going on in life. And we all have to fight that lack of confidence. And another big problem I have is overthinking. When I get ready to create something, I just overthink it. And even when I finish the rough draft or when I finish polishing it, now I'm overthinking it again about how to get it out to the public or how to make the social media videos, for example. That's helped me a lot, however, with watching especially what younger people do and other artists do, other creators. It has given me a lot of permission to myself to just get on the microphone and do something, say what you're going to say. Don't spend hours trying to polish a talk. You're not about to give a State of the Union address. You're sharing something personal. So I've learned a lot from watching younger people make their social media videos. And so my kids and some of my friends are surprised to find out that I have a TikTok account. I have an Instagram account. I make Facebook, the same videos you can post on Facebook. And I have a YouTube account that's really needs to be revived. So I jump in there and do things like I say. Sometimes, most times I don't know what I'm doing with social media because it's changing. And as soon as I think I have figured out how to do it, I go in there and the buttons have moved to a different place. They have new features. Every time I open anything and it says, we have great new features, they think that they have done us a favor. They have not done me a favor because I think, oh my God, I come from a generation where you learned how to operate your stove in the kitchen, and it worked the same way all of your life. You learned how to operate your radio. When you got a television, you learned how to operate that. You learned how to drive a car, even a stick shift, but it stayed the same. It didn't change. You didn't have to learn some new skills to drive that car the next week, the next year. But now we're in a different age with the social media, and it's changing constantly. They're improving, they think, it and offering features. So every time you go to make a video, and perhaps you, I don't know if you do social media videos, but you can bet that there's some new way to do something that you don't know how to do. And you end up pushing buttons, and sometimes you push one and now it's published. And now you got, oh, how do I unpublish that thing? So yeah, it's a different day. So we have to adapt, as all generations have had to adapt. And as you get older, it's harder because you want to just, I know you're a writer and you're a performer, you're a singer and all those things. You want to do your craft. You don't want to think about all the technology. That's why people who are, let's say, singers, somebody else goes out there and sets up the mic, the sound system. Somebody else designs their outfits. It's all of that stuff. They can focus on the singing, the craft. And unfortunately, when you are a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, a small business owner, you have to do all those things. And it's daunting. But I jump in there and do it anyway. And sometimes I amaze myself. Sometimes I go, I can't believe you did that. But I keep going.
Well, I can believe you do because you do everything so well. And I would never know that you were jumping in. I just jump into things and I just let the universe guide me. And I don't perfect it. So, like, I was watching this info on Mr. Beast. I've had a YouTube channel since 2007, so I have well over 1,000 videos. And it's talking about how he gets 1 million views and everything because he has a whole staff and they're perfecting everything. You know what? I'm not going to perfect everything. I wouldn't spend the time and energy to do that. And it's just, I'm just so grateful to be listening to you. I only do YouTube and Zoom because I can then share it and all this. I wouldn't have any idea how to go into the other social media and do it. And I don't have an interest in doing it either.
Yeah. Well, one thing, if you do want to do those things, excuse me, my way of doing anything is to try to learn from somebody who's already doing it and offering classes and so forth. But eventually I throw my hands up and say, okay, that's enough training. That's enough listening to other people's instructions. I'm just going to jump and do it because there's a point at which you're never going to get to that point where you think you have it perfectly ready to go. And like you say about, you said Mr. Beast,
yeah,
trying to perfect something. I think these days trying to perfect things is a mistake because people are more interested in the authentic you, where, you know, how you got to wherever you are and what is it that you've learned that can help them. And they are much more forgiving than my the people that were. Sometimes I think about when I was a kid and we were being raised by very strict adults. If you had a 5-line Easter speech to give at your church on Easter Sunday, we rehearsed that thing, you know, up and down and crisscross. And if you made a mistake, it was just so humiliating because we were expected to do it perfectly. And I think that's a big mistake to try to do these days because people, and I'm sure you can agree, if you're listening to somebody and they are talking from the heart rather than from a script, then you can tell the difference. And you are much more likely to enjoy it. You're more likely to learn from it. And certainly you're more likely to trust that person to be able to help you if you choose to get help from them, then you are somebody who's perfectly polished because polish can easily wear off and fall apart. And there you're standing, you know, naked, you know, symbolically naked with just you and your ideas and the audience. And you can deliver very well under those circumstances. I'm not saying it's not good to make some notes and think about what you're going to say, but sometimes when it comes out, if you're being authentic, it comes out a little differently than what you planned. So I appreciate that the younger generation are so spontaneous, and that's why they seem so assured of themselves. I ask my youngest daughter sometimes how to do this and how to do that. She goes, Mom, just start pushing the buttons and figure it out. She resists trying to tell me how to do things because at the, you know, after all is said and done, that's what you're going to have to do is push some buttons, see what works, and hopefully know how to delete if you haven't already published.
I wish I had known about this many years ago. I was writing an autobiography for a very dear friend, and we recorded everything. And I spent a whole weekend going through all the, they were all audio recordings, renaming them so I'd know how to put them into the book. I renamed them by the topic and ignored the chronology.
Okay.
And I couldn't figure out the chronology, and I never wrote the book for him. And it's like, oh, this is, I don't ever want that to happen again. So I'm listening, paying attention to everything that you're sharing.
Yeah, the chronology, you know, obviously when you're writing for someone else, only that person knows the chronology. But even when you're writing for yourself, I don't know that the chronology matters in the big picture. It matters when you're telling the story, a one memory. But those can stand alone. I don't see, you know, there's a trend now where many people are doing what they call micro memoirs, flash fiction, flash memoirs, where they're just focusing on a series of things that are not in chronological order. I think it's more important for the reader, whether it's your family or a reader who's purchased a book, it's more important for them to get the essence of your story. You know, how did you feel? What did you learn from it? And so forth, than to have everything in perfect order from birth to death, you know, type thing. That's my view. And I think it's probably why I hesitated to write my own memoir long ago, because that's how most people would advise you to make an outline, start with, you know, first grade, second grade, whatever. And that's just not the way most memory works. You can force it, but I prefer to do these spontaneous memories. And so now I have a hub. I call it a hub. It is a hub where I, what is it? It was created by productivity people. Notion, I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a place where you can put, you remember Evernote? A program called Evernote.
Still use it.
Okay. This one is similar. I never mastered Evernote. Notion I haven't mastered either, but I do use the aspect of it where when I come up with an idea, a memory up from my past, I can go over there and type in a few words about, excuse me, the memory, and then leave it and go on with my business. And when I get ready to go back, I can retrieve that short memory and expand that story, because if you have the trigger for the story, you'll remember the rest of the story. But if you, it's like anything else, you know, you remember something for a moment. If you don't quickly write it down, it's gone and it may come back. But that's the way I do right now with my micro memoirs. So I have a bunch of them that I have not fully fleshed out and written, but I know what the essence of the situation was. And little by little, I'm getting those done.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Boy, did I need to hear that. I put all these notes on little, each one's its own note. Then I have to remember, where did I put that?
Yeah, that is a big problem. And some people seem to be intuitively organized, and some people are not. I used to be a lot more organized than I am now, but digital organization is another animal from paper organization. You can still do paper organization. Digital organization is wonderful and amazing if you know how to do it, if you learn how to do it, and you master the idea of naming and placing things. It's what it's all about. And I've looked at people who really know what they're doing, and I'm just amazed at how they can retrieve information because they have organized it. If you haven't organized it, you're going to have trouble retrieving it, because it's going to be like you're trying to put your friend's book together without having identified those times, those time frames in the sequence. You can't know what goes where. So you have to have a system like that. If organization, or if having things chronological, is important, then you do have to have some kind of system. The other thing you can do, of course, is backtrack in time. And that's what I do with my stories. The ones I'm writing, sometimes I will, you know, have to backtrack. What year was that? Or how old was I? So that must have been that year. And if that's important, it's not necessarily always important to the story, but details do help paint the picture. And I was writing about the other day my experiences as a teenager growing up in my church in St. Louis, Missouri, when they started a youth group, and how I joined the youth group, and how wonderful it was to be in this group, because our parents, the girls' parents, were not very liberal when it came to us going to parties and being with boys. But this youth group leaders who took over, they would host parties and things for us because they understood kids wanted to get together and socialize. So we had a lot of fun in those years. But I was writing about one incident, and I was trying to remember what year and make of car these leaders had, because those of us who didn't own cars, our families didn't own cars, they would haul us into their car and pack us in there and take us home at the end of the evening. And it was just bothering, what kind of car did they have? So fortunately, I still have a few friends my age from that era who are alive. And that's another thing that happens as you get older. You can't always retrieve this information from other people either if they're no longer alive or they are having mental decline or something. So I quickly texted one of my friends who's in Georgia. It probably would seem like a random question to anyone else, but I said, hey, do you remember what make and model the Coles car was when we were in the youth group in St. Louis? And we're talking decades ago, right? And it's funny because he texted back immediately. You know, he said, I think that was a 1956 Chevrolet, blah, blah, blah. And he was giving me a little detail. But, I don't know how significant that detail is, but it bothered me that I couldn't remember. And fortunately, I could, you know, of course, our leaders are all passed, and many of those students are passed. But it's interesting how you can find that information some way, shape, or form if it's important to you. And at the end, you may end up not even using it in the finished product, but you have it.
I want to be sure people know where to find you.
Okay. Let's see. The best place to find me is probably my website. Maybe not the best, but it's easy. FloraBrown.com.
That's easy.
That's my website. If you know my name, you know my website. When I'm up to date and keeping things current, as soon as you go to my website, whatever is at the top should be something that's current that I'm doing. However, I do have it organized by free resources so they can see which things they can download free. I have a free quiz you can take to see where you need help with writing your life story and things of that nature. In addition to that, I also have a Instagram account. And but when you go to my website, of course, you're going to get all that information will be there too. I have in my Instagram, I use my name, Flora Brown, except I have to add something because there are a zillion Flora Browns I discovered. So I just add Flora Brown to you, the number two and the letter U. And I use that same handle on TikTok. And then over on Facebook, when you go to my profile, let's see, what did I do for my profile? I guess that's where you start over there with Facebook. I think it's just Flora M. Brown. It's my profile. But I'm going to send you information that you can verify to put this on your contact. But yeah, starting with the website is good because everything should sort of kind of be there. And somewhere you have to find it. You know, usually the social media things are at the bottom, but there are also the links at the top. You can click on my blog because I have a blog there. You can join my newsletter, and all of these things are on my website. So I encourage people to jump over and learn about what I'm doing. I'm pretty harmless. I don't bite often. And so I'm more than happy to point people to what can help them, whether they take my class or not, because sometimes people will want something that I don't offer or that I'm not offering right now, or that I think someone is better at sharing with them than I am. So I'm very much a teacher and a mom. So I want to get people to the right place. So I encourage people to contact me even just for information if, you know, they don't have to worry that I'm going to try to pressure them into taking one of my classes.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being you, because you're an extraordinary person making a difference in so many lives. And I want everybody to take a screenshot so they see all your books.
Oh, yep, you can see it. I've learned from experience, not because I thought of it myself, that if you have books or something to promote, you need to let people know about it, because people cannot buy a book they don't know exists. And they certainly can't take a class they don't know exists. So I found during the Zoom years, once we started with the pandemic and we were doing so much online, that it was probably smart to just have my books behind me. All of them aren't back there, but some of the key ones. And that helps people to know what I'm doing, and they can ask questions about it and gives me a chance to promote something.
Well, thank you so much. And all of the links will be in the show notes. You know that suffering is optional. So if you need some better sleep, if you're just kind of feeling down sometimes, feeling crummy, want to improve your athletic performance, anything going on in your life, what if you're in pain and you don't want to do drugs and any other drugs aren't working? I got something for you. Check in the show notes, endstruggle.com. Audible has something special for you. When you click my link, you get 30 days free trial. Go in, download the audiobook of your choice, and spend 30 days discovering all the cool stuff in there that, you know what, you won't find in any place else. And this month, I recommend Sand Talk. It's one of the most powerful books on how our world gets to be in the state it has, and over time, and civilizations and cultures, how everything goes in cycles, why they do. And I just thought it was an incredible work, recommending it to you. You can join our Facebook group. Got any questions? That's a place to ask them, place to make a new friend, place to pick up the extras that I put in to help guide you toward your spiritual journey. It's yours. It's not mine. It's not Bob's. It's yours. Ask your questions there. You can go to our show page where you can listen to or watch any episode. You can also leave a review very, very easily there. You know what happens when you leave a review? People who are on their spiritual path, on their journey, don't know where to go. They'll find your review. They'll find, well, what did you like about this show? And then they'll take a look. And if your review's not there, they won't get to see it. So I appreciate you doing that. I appreciate you joining our community. And when you join our community, you're supporting the show. And you get to join me every month for a live video where we can interact, talk about whatever you really want to talk about. Remember to enjoy, that's capital I-N, capital J-O-Y, every moment, because nothing in your life, nothing you see, hear, taste, touch, smell, happens outside of you. All happens within, and I look forward to seeing you here next time.
You've been listening to A Talk on the Wilder Side. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Get Metaphysical. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and review, and be sure to share it with your friends. Tune in every Monday for more exciting insights and wisdom on life beyond your five senses. Until next time, take a small step in a new direction. Start now.